My daughter texted me this week. This is not being taped yet, is it, Steve?
Not yet.
Sunday school, when you brought your thimble to Sunday school, you got a 5-gallon bucket poured into your thimble. And then I preached in church. So tonight, people are, you've had an overload of stuff today, I think. And I don't know how anybody sat in the Sunday morning sermon and didn't think about life. Or Dave's class and think about life. I mean, it's hard not to. Tonight will be simple. It's not going to be deep. It's going to be helpful. That's my goal. I call it Tychicus, finding his sweet spot. Does everybody know, Atong, do you know what the sweet spot of a bat is? When you're swinging, I'm using bat technology. When you're swinging a bat, you don't want to hit it up too far up because it's not the sweet part. You don't want to hit it on the end. There's a sweet spot. When you hit it there, the ball just flies. Now, if you don't like that, how about basketball? In the zone. Michael Jordan language, just he got in the zone. If you don't like that, positive psychology. What's that Jewish guy's name? He's the guy that invented learned helplessness. He's the one that revealed that in the late 60s. Whatever his name is, doesn't come to my mind right now. Brilliant guy. He called it being in the flow when things work. The thing I want you to notice, I got one point tonight. Tychicus found his sweet spot. In every verse in the New Testament, he seems to be doing it and loving it, which is a little better than griping, complaining, and all of the things that we do. And before I read, I have permission for my opening illustration. I got permission, so you'll know. Titus chapter 3, verse 12. This comes from Titus, which we're going to get back to soon. It says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent, Titus, to come to me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. This is one of the references to a man named Tychicus. I think this will be a very helpful message for you tonight if you're actually engaged with the man, the verses, and your life. Because that's what it has to be us. It can't be someone else. Let's pray together. Father, bless our time. Thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night. In Christ's name, amen. All right, you may be seated. So, Tychicus finding his sweet spot, Titus finding the zone, Titus finding the flow. I don't care the language, meaning, everybody look at me. You just know why you're on earth. From the famous theologian Mark Twain, in your notes. And you notice that very few people laugh because Mark Twain is not taught it much. It's only going to be an older generation that really resonates with. But he made a very provocative, profound statement. He said this, the two most important days in your life are these, the day you were born. Well, if you're not born, you have a problem, yes. And secondly, the day you find out why. Do you know how many people I have met that never found out why they were put on earth? The vast majority of people I have preached to have a struggle of trying to figure out why they're on earth. So, good daughter, let me say this to you directly. I had an offer when I was pastoring in St. Louis like Amy did. I, of course, didn't even reply to the offer. But may I say this, most people live their life, if they make $5,000 more, they'd move to Idaho or Mongolia, either one. Because they don't know why they're on earth. Is it money? Is that it? Amy did share that text with me, by the way. That's a fact. The most important day in your life, the day two most important, the day you were born and the day you find out why, Mark Twain. Tychicus, the man, is found 5 times in the New Testament. He's found 2 times in a footnote at the end of 2 books, Ephesians and Colossians. We'll come to this at the very end. But let me tell a story. Did everybody hear that I got permission to tell this story? Yes? I came here 30 years ago. I have now been here over 30 years. When I came here, the school administrator was Jerry Milburn. Jerry and I became friends very quickly. We're still friends, but we don't talk much right now. You understand? Jerry's with the Lord. Jerry was same age as me. I think he was 3 months older than me. He was born in January, 57. We were friends. And I wrote down, I'm going to read what I wrote down, the two hardest decisions in my 30 years here. One of them, Tim knows. The other one, most of you, that one you won't know, and I'm not going to say. Tim, you would know it. But the hardest decision I made in the 30 years was firing Jerry Milburn. Everybody look at me in the eyes. Because I love the guy. I like the guy. I still remember sitting in my office, and we had a lot of problems. Now, you understand, I fired more people than you can count when I first came here. We had people that couldn't do their job. We had one person in the office that could do her job, but she decided to leave me. And that was Shelley Elts. Then we hired Bambi. The front office was a disaster. It was worse than a disaster. Jan Thompson, yes, you may tell her, rescued me for 25 years. Wasn't perfect, but boy, she was perfect in all that detail stuff. She was a blessing. There were lots of problems. I liked Jerry, but we had problems because of certain skill sets. By the way, look at me, friend. The most important day in your life is finding out why you're here. And if you get that wrong, you're going to have problems the rest of your life, because you're either going to be angry because you haven't reached it. I looked up with my grandsons, the three oldest one, about the NBA. I'm going to misquote this, so please don't check me on your phone right now, but it's going to be reasonable. You looked up how many basketball guys play basketball in the NCAA. It's over like a half a million. Cliff, how many do you think play in the NBA? 400 to 500. Yet every kid I've had in my Bible class thinks they're playing NBA basketball. I had a young man stand up and throw a fit. By the way, the day you were born, the day you find out why. Boy, that seems to be simple to me. And no, I'm not here to tell you why. I think you should figure that out. Let me read what I wrote down about Jerry. It was the hardest decision. It was a negative decision. The other one was a positive decision that cost me more frustration than any other decision I ever made here. It was positive because, as Sharon would always say, and Amy now says, and Tim says, what's the right thing to do? Well, Jerry was and is now in heaven one of us, meaning he is a fundamental Baptist to the core. He was loyal, not blind loyalty. We don't even discuss that stupidity. But he was loyal to the mission, the job, the culture. It's who he was. He had no gossip. He was straight down the line. But he struggled as a school administrator. Can I say this kindly? Students hated Jerry Milburn's guts. Tim, we talked about this recently, didn't we? Are you all looking at me? What did we say? Do you remember what we said about Jerry's concern for kids? But he didn't know how to show it. You know how he showed it? Nitpicking. Well, a kid that was 99%, he would go after the 1%. He drove the kids crazy. Oh my goodness. Do you realize we have people in the community that still hate our school because of Jerry? But they didn't get Jerry. Jerry was a good guy. They didn't get him. He struggled. The nitpicking drove people crazy. I'm reading a book in my office, and the book said the first thing you do when you hire somebody, just in case you all want to know, is you ask, what are the broad qualifications for the job? What do they have to be able to do? Here's a school administrator. Are you ready? They have to have educational ability, because the whole thing is education. They have to have some academic background, hopefully some classroom teaching and the ability to manage and all that. Secondly, they have to have financial skills. And thirdly, they have to have relational skills. That's the job of that person. I wrote it in a book. I got the book in the office. I wrote it in the book. And then the author said something that just cut my head off. He said, If you have a person that you're hiring other people to do parts of their jobs, you must fire that person. That was the day. Now, I haven't told the whole story. Are you interested in the story? So I had to go to Jerry, and Jerry knew I loved him. I still do, by the way. I talked to Jerry Milburn Thursday night, and he died Friday. He was on Bible study Wednesday night. I mean, he's my friend. He will be my friend forever. I had to tell Jerry, it's not working out. It's not working out. And I then hired a great choice. I still think he's wrong, but he's still a great choice. You say he's wrong in what sense? He doesn't think he's a great choice, but that was Tim Kowak. Not perfect. None of us are perfect. But that, by the way, academics, by the way, I could send Tim into any math class. He could do math. I can send Amy into any class. She can run the world. By the way, you have to have somebody with that kind of flexibility. He had the educational. He wasn't a financial genius in raising money, but he also is a country boy that was, what would you call you, tight? Is that the right word? Doesn't like to spend money like I am. I'm tight too. Well, what's the rest of the story? Jerry did the unthinkable. He went back into the Air Force. Can I tell you something? Look at me. He got into his sweet spot. He did something, Jim, I've never heard of. First of all, the Air Force promotion after a certain point is very difficult. He went all the way to the top of enlisted. He became an E9 very quickly, which is just dumbfounding. You say, why? Because all the things that made him bad here made him perfect there. They put him in charge of things where you needed somebody that was a nitpicker. That doing these real, Jerry would do these real detail things that would drive me crazy. He loved it. He found his sweet spot. And can I say this? He excelled. He won awards. Now, you put a person that thinks, I don't care what you tell me, Pastor Warren, I'm doing this. I'm not telling you anything. Please don't come to me for counsel. I don't counsel people anymore. You know why? Most people do what they want to do. The last time I counseled somebody, I got them 3 job opportunities, and they did exactly 180 degrees the opposite. We'll see how that works. Tychicus, finding his sweet spot. What was his sweet spot? Well, we're just going to read the verses that talk about him. Number one, let's read the verses under it, please. It says, and after the uproar was ceased, in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia. I don't know, Sopater? Soapy? Do you think his nickname was Soapy? How you doing, Soapy? I don't know. Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus. Secundus is a word that basically means someone that's blessed or something. It also related to the word for second. Gaius or Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus, we know. And of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. What's funny is we know a bunch of those names. We definitely know Timotheus, we know Tychicus and Trophimus. We know both of those two men from the last thing that Paul wrote. Listen, friend, number one, Tychicus, finding his... By the way, does anybody have another term for what I'm talking about? Finding your sweet spot, finding your zone, finding your flow. I don't know what it is. Some people find it, some people never find it, but Tychicus found it. Here's the first part. He was a collaborator with Paul. He worked in collaboration. He got collaboration, which is a beautiful thing to do. Beautiful. I say under the verses, I say this, we find Paul traveling with a group of workers, collaborators. They're people collaborating for the purpose of why they're there. Now, if collaboration is not a word you use, it was used in worlds that I inhabit. It's simply a person who jointly works with others to achieve a what? Common goal, particularly in an artistic, scientific, or professional projects. And I would say what God has called us to do is part of that. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, meaning that initial discipling, the initial teaching of the gospel. But we don't stop there. Baptizing, incorporating them into the local church, teaching them to observe all things. By the way, a church is a place of collaboration, but Tychicus has got this. All right, everyone look at me. He's not here tonight. I told him I was going to pick on him tonight. We got a guy in our church, our school. He's in our church too. Good guy. We call him Super Sub. Who is he? But I'm going to be nice. We do not ask Jamie to teach math. Karin does math. Jamie does not do math. Jamie doesn't even know what math is. He doesn't know if it exists. By the way, does that make Jamie bad? By the way, administration tries to find a sweet spot for a person where they fit in and can excel. Some people can only be the boss. They can't work because they, you know, there's all kinds of factors. Some people can't work at a Christian school. By the way, you can't work any place because you can't find your sweet spot, where it's at. 2 years ago when I preached at Maranatha, I do not remember the title of the sermon, but I looked around and I did not know that Dr. Marriott was retiring because of health. I remember being there. I remember doing it. Jenny, you were there, and I didn't do it quietly. I won't do it loud. I just said in the sermon, it was something about, you know, God's calling, and I said, what would you do if somebody asked you to be the president of a Bible college? Do you remember my one-word answer? I turned to the side and yelled, run. You say, well, I have no ability in those areas. When I'm around Matt Davis up there at Maranatha, I'm like, you, buddy, you have found your sweet spot. And it's a beautiful thing. Have you found your sweet spot? Have you found what God's called you to do? Okay, by the way, your happiness kind of depends on it. Collaborating in your notes. Nothing weird here. By the way, I love Jamie. We don't put him in charge of math classes. You say, what happens if we don't have a math teacher? Jamie sits in there and smiles and they do whatever they want to do. It's just that simple. You say, is that bad? No, that's normal. We have art classes here. When the art teacher's not here, I fill in. Never in your lifetime. All right, in your notes, collaborating. First of all, simply this, it's part of a team. You know the old joke, there is no I in team. And everybody has to function in a team. I don't care where you work. Everybody has to do the function in the team. Some people don't like that. They don't like their part. Next, obviously for the gospel and the whole counsel of God, not just the gospel. The whole counsel of God, nothing added, nothing omitted, nothing exaggerated. I mean, that was what Tychicus was doing. That's what Paul was doing. He joins in as part of that team. Next, in his role or function, and we haven't fleshed that part out. That will be part two and part three. He had a specific role and a function that the texts tell us. It seemed like he is always doing two things in the team. Boy, there's a lot of different aspects of teamwork, and I appreciate people doing teamwork. I like to go, and I didn't do anything this week. I like to go down to the elementary and then wind back through. I can start with the K-4 class. Then I go to Carly. And by the way, that young lady has become a beautiful first grade teacher. Now, you can tell her. Go ahead and gossip. We didn't know what she would be like. You don't always know what a person's capable of. Not only is she good, I would say she's very good at what she's become. Then, of course, there's perfection across the hallway in second grade. Right, Emily? Yes. She just hasn't had Evan yet. It's a few years, sister, so you can prepare yourself. Oh, that's right. He told us today he's coming next year because he's going with Jesse. He told us that today. So you're going to get Jesse and him in the class, just so you know. I go to third grade. It was Aura. You go over to K-5, Gen Rush, and I go downstairs. I don't get to do it enough. I love to see a team and people that are serving and are loving what they're doing in this every place. It's a beautiful thing. So he has to do as a part of a team for the gospel or the whole counsel of God in his role or function happily. That's always a good thing, happily. And lastly, working happily with a team. That's kind of the point. You're working happily with a team. My daughter always is preaching to me. I hear more preaching from Amy than anyone else together. So, by the way, do you have children that way? I just always, dad, dad, dad. She has a statement. Every problem we've had with women in this church come from women just about who don't work outside the home. Do you have a clue why? Don't know how to work in a team. They're not used to working around people. You know, when the more you work with the team, you got to learn to adapt and adjust and feel good with what you're doing, feel good with what they're doing. And you say, well, I didn't get promoted and they did. Welcome to the club. I was in India when Ezra and Emily got married. I'm there and I met a pastor. And for the life of me, he has a British name. He's from America. He's probably 20 years my senior. Are you guys ready? I don't know. I've never met the guy. I found out later the guy had been the head of the regular Baptist in Wisconsin. He had been the president of Faith Baptist Bible College. But before that, he had been a pastor in a church in Jersey County, Illinois. He also pastored Union Grove for a short period of time up across the border. By the way, good man. I really liked the guy. He started talking about his times in, I can't say the name because there's a reason I can't say the name of the church or city, but it's a city in Jersey County. He said, oh yeah, he was a pastor there when I was in high school. What is the likelihood of meeting somebody in India, the pastor from Jersey County, Illinois? Zero. He said, yep, I had a deacon in my church. He named him. Everybody look at me. It's a relative of mine. He said the guy was a puppy dog with his wife. His wife ran his life. At work, he was offered promotions dozens of times. He retired as the janitor because he never wanted a promotion of any kind. In the church, he was a dictator. Do you know why? He never found his, yes, unhappy. Got to get there. I'm sorry that he was my relative. What is the chances of that? So working happily together with the team. Well, number two, what was his job? What was his function? It seems to be two. So he was a collaborator, you know, with Paul in the gospel. Ephesians 6:21 and 4:7 give you two things that it seems like he probably was always doing. He writes to the church at Ephesus and says, but that you may also know my affairs. You know, without the gossip and the chismes and the lies and the criticism, that you may also know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, notice his language, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. You got me? How do you like that? You say, Tychicus, what's your job? Well, we're out on a mission. Paul sends me off to this church to what? Well, here, I'll give you the point. Tychicus, I believe, was Paul's interpreter, and if I can say, defender. Because would you believe people gossiped about Paul? Would you believe people were Paul's enemy? Well, of course. You say, what is this about? It's about the text. He needed somebody to go to that church and interpret him, that you may know my affairs and how I do, otherwise from me, not from somebody lying. He shall make known unto you all things. Colossians 4:7. All my state, Tychicus, declare unto you. So again, two times, Tychicus is mentioned as an individual who is interpreting Paul to other churches, ministries. He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. He's a fellow servant. All of that's perfect. But at the heart of his function, he seemed to be the interpreter and defender of Paul. I say in your notes on the next page, Paul, in really every leader, and by the way, that doesn't mean great leadership. I mean any level of leadership needs an interpreter and a defender, not gossip, not criticizer or sower of discord. They need some people that will faithfully interpret and defend, not gossip. I said this morning, so I want to repeat tonight. I was thinking back, this has to be 1996 to 1999, so it's a long time ago. There was a young woman parked about where Isaac sits. That's where she came when she came to church. She married somebody in the church, and I'm doing what I always do. I'm picking on somebody. That day, I was picking on Pete Vasilovich, my friend Pete Vasilovich. By the way, he's still my friend. I still talk to him. I keep relationships with people. I'm making fun of Pete. By the way, do you know how Pete answers the phone? What do you want, old geezer? We've been joking with each other for 30 years. At the end of a service one day, I had said something about Pete, making fun of him about something. And she went to somebody and said, "Hey, buddy, everybody, hey, stick with it." She said, "Why is Pastor Warren always picking on Pete?" She missed the entire thing. I wasn't picking on Pete. That's the way I show love. You say you're weird. Sorry, that's the way I am. But I need somebody to do what? Interpret accurately what I'm doing. Now, Cliff and Judy. I call them Cliffy and Huda. Judy, do you remember where you got the name Huda? I do. I was preaching a sermon on Sunday night, your first time here, and Judah kept coming up. And I was saying something about you, and I called you Judah, and I called the text Judy. And after that, you've been Huda, Huda, Huda the whole time. Well, that's deep. Pastor Warren, what do you mean? I don't mean anything. It's a term of endearment. Mean? Atom. Let's see here. Mallory, do you know Atong's real name? Do you know who Atong is? What is his name? No, but I'm not going to say his name because I do like him. But Atong is his nickname. But I call him Atong Pagong or Atong Balatong Pagong. You say why? Years ago, how long ago was it, Atong? He wore a hat and it looked like a turtle hat. And the Tagalog word for turtle is pagong. I thought, perfect, Atong Pagong. You say, what, Pastor, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means it's a term of affection. When I say it, it makes me feel close to Atong. He brought up, by the way, the Balatong, because I didn't know that word. Which means it's some kind of a bean. I don't even know what kind of a bean it is. So do you think he's a bean? Oh, shut up. Shut up. By the way, can I say this? I'm going to say this about me, but you need to do it for your friends. You interpret people accurately. You don't lie. You don't make things up. But if I call him Atong Balatong Pagon, please don't let somebody out there saying, what does Pastor Warren mean? Here's what I mean. I like him. And if it honestly, if it didn't make you smile, I wouldn't call you that. Now, Dada, do you know what I call Noel Hippolito? Call him Dada. Why? Do you know why? Because that's what Pachung guy calls him. Dada. And the proper respect is to say Po. So I started to call him Po Dada, and then I thought, no, I got to really just make it worse. So I normally, when I call him, I say, hey, Po Dada Popo. You say, what does that mean? Nothing except affection. Can I ask you a question? Should a person have to say that? Shouldn't people be able to interpret? No. Look at me in the eyes. Note if you grew up in a family where people put you down all the time, then you're thinking, what does he mean? By the way, that young girl had been sexually abused. That young girl had been thrown from pillar to post. She didn't trust anybody, so she assumed I meant something. Now, friends, I'm actually trying to say something rather profound. I don't have friends that I don't defend. You come to me and start criticizing Tim Kowak, you're talking to the wrong person. You come to me and criticize Noah Hippolito, you're talking to the wrong person. You play your gossip games, you go ahead. And by the way, I know everybody that gossips. I'm not stupid. It becomes very obvious in time. I don't know why we do it, because it's not necessary. We could actually enjoy each other, all of each other. That would be a shocker. By the way, Sharon Vasilovich was one of my interpreters back in the day. I would say Sharon just got me. Part of it was Pete and I, even though he's introverted, I'm extroverted, we were very similar. Yes. So, why do I call PDD PDD? So, Mallory, do you know what PDD means? You know, by the way, you're not allowed to call her that. It made her mad for a long time, but she preferred it to another name that I called her one time. One time I called her Mankukulam. She did not like that term, which means witch. She did not like that, and it was a joke, but I knew she didn't like that one. By the way, PDD just means, P stands for Pandak, a midget. She's not a, look at me, she's not a midget, correct? She's tall as my mother, and my mother's just tall enough. You say I call her Pandak, short, who talks. Does she like to talk? Whew. She likes to talk. I love her. You say, what does that mean? Oh, boy. If I have to explain past that, well, let's look in your notes. Folks, this does not come from Pastor Warren. This comes from one of the premier historians on Islam in the last 100 years, by the name of Bernard Lewis. You ever heard of Bernard Lewis? He wrote some of the best books you'll ever read on Islam. He was a Jewish guy from England. He actually joined World War II as a Jew. They asked him when he joined, I still remember, he said, they asked me what race I was. In 1939 in England, the only people that asked what race you were the Nazis. He says, I didn't know what to say. And he asked this sergeant major or whatever they were called in England. He said, what do you want to know? And he says, well, in England, son, we only have four races, English, Irish, Scottish, and Welsh. Which one are you? And he said, okay, I'm English. Brilliant man. He read fluently at least 11 languages. One of the first men that ever, and no one can do it, got into the Ottoman Empire secret documents. Brilliant guy. He was a historian. I memorized this upon the first read. This is what he said about history, which is going to talk to your gossip. He said this, a historian's functions are three. Number one is to find out what happened. He says that's about all normally you can actually do in history is find out what happened. That's that simple. Secondly, he says, and I have it in parentheses, this is very hard to do. The second one is you find out how it happened. So he says most of the time, the best you ever get is just to find out this is what happened. Sometimes you find out what exactly caused it to happen, what happened, and how it happened. He said the third level is almost impossible to accomplish, which is why it happened. Now, this is the only cruel thing I'm going to say. And by the way, if it applies to you, I will speak it to you. Why it happened is almost, this is according to Bernard Lewis. By the way, I didn't write this. I just memorized this upon reading. I would tell you that gossip and gossips always know number three, the very thing he says you cannot know. Did you hear me? Gossips always know number three. Why? I know why Pastor Warren did that. Look at me in the eyes. If you want to know, everybody look at me. If you want to know why I did something, who would you ask? But even that won't help you because sometimes you're not real sure why you did something. You should know your motives that well. Have you ever done something stupid and then wondered, why did I do that? By the way, the gossip stuff is just silly. But Tychicus had a function. His function was defending. You say, the Apostle Paul, if you were perfect, you wouldn't. Yeah, but see, that's your mistake because gossip is always with us. Lies and other things. John 7:24. Judge not according to appearance, which is, well, I know what happened. Well, maybe. Do you know how it happened? No, you don't need to know that. But you know why? Because you, by the way, the moment, by the way, you start filling in the whys, who are you talking about? Talking about your own motivations. That's what you would do if you were in that situation. Tim Kowak, how many times have we said, we've got to do this because it's right? But I've never had a person ask me if we do that. We've had to make harsh decisions or decisions in a thousand areas, and it all comes down to what's the right thing to do. And by the way, that's not always easy to figure out. I made two hard decisions, Jerry Milburn and one other. The other one was to keep somebody. It was 100% the right choice and the hardest choice I ever made. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't. You know why you don't? Because you never asked us. By the way, you don't need to know, but my point is, don't fill in. That's called gossip. And can I say this? If you come to me about Big B and you tell me any bad things about Big B, you know what? I'm his defender. You say, why? Because if I had a personality to choose in this entire church, he would be his personality. Are you clear about that? I'm a defender of people, especially people that are faithful and loyal. Judge not according to appearance, the appearance, but judge, and I had to put a word A there. It doesn't make sense in the King James, but judge a righteous, or the righteous, actually in Greek. Judge the righteous judgment. In Greek, there's the now, there's the word the. Number three. Here's the second thing of his sweet spot. He was a collaborator with a bunch of people. He was an interpreter and a defender. And number three, he was a messenger for Paul. It seems like he also helped Paul in delivering messages. The last reference to Tychicus is 2 Timothy 4:12. When he's talking about this person's, you know, Demas has forsaken me, but then he says, and Tychicus have I sent. That is from the Greek word apostello or apostolos. It's like as an official delegate of mine. I have sent him to Ephesus. Our key text tonight is Titus 3, verse 12. Whom I shall send, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, Titus, or Tychicus, it seems like he was a messenger. Under the verses, I say this. He seems to function as a messenger between Paul and churches. Next, between Paul and not only churches, but individuals like Titus. He maybe, this is maybe, we have no proof of this, but it makes sense, carried his or carried Paul's epistles. Meaning, you know, when you write something, you didn't send it in the mail, you didn't email it, you didn't text it. Somebody had to carry it. It's a very good possibility he was one of the guys that carried them. Remotely possible, he actually wrote Paul's epistles. By the way, most people think they had a person that did the writing for them. Look at me, friends. You have to understand, today we think that's so crazy. James Duncan is different. Find the average person. What are you, 71 or 72? What are you? Right in that area, aren't you? 71, 72. We're holding to that, Jim. By the way, most people near 80 years old can't type worth a lick. They didn't grow up with it. Jim can. By the way, in the ancient world, writing was difficult. People could write their name or stuff, but you didn't have the equipment. Probably somebody wrote his epistles. We'll come to that in a moment. Before I do, and I'm almost finished, Jenny, there's a woman at Maranatha. I do not know her name. I think you met her and asked her her name. Every time I preach there, she's the lady that you immediately see picking up the chairs, sweeping the floor. Little lady, always with a smile, always sweet. I did not know because we always leave a tip in the room for whoever cleans our room. She's the lady that cleans our room. You met her this time, didn't you? You talked to her. I talk to her every time. I always walk up to her and I say this. Thank you for your service. Can I say something? Do you know the woman I'm talking about? Just a sweetheart, correct? Can I say this? She's found, look at me. Yes. You say, what does she do? She works as part of a team. She's a collaborator. Mm-hmm. Found her sweet spot. Tychicus wasn't a great preacher. He's the person that was the messenger. Thank you, Tim. Do you know her first name? Because she told us her first name, but I forget. I only I talk to her every time I go, but you know, it's quick. She's working, first of all. You gotta get out of her way or she'll run right over you. All right, in your notes, I just wanted to say and pay honor to that lady. If you ever go to Maranatha and you see people cleaning up, that lady will always be there at work. I mean, she's beautiful. All right, in your notes. So he seems to function as a messenger between Paul in churches, Paul in individuals, maybe carried his letters, and remotely possible he actually wrote Paul's letters, meaning he was the person that wrote down the dictation that Paul was writing. That is a logical deduction. It's not proven anyplace. It's a logical deduction. In old King James Bibles, and I could not find one online. Look at me, please. In old King James Bibles, there used to be these little footnotes in two books that have his name. I transcribed it in your notes. Ephesians 6:24 has a footnote that says this: to the Ephesians, written from Rome by Tychicus. Now, that's not part of Scripture. That's a deduction from the book. Colossians 4:18 has almost the same thing: written from Rome to Colossians by Tychicus, and then it adds Onesimus. I mean, I think, again, that's a logical deduction. It's not proven, and it's not important. I say this, regardless of the last point, Tychicus had found what? His sweet spot. There is nothing more beautiful. And now I quote, is this better than Mark Twain? Look at me, please. Here's the problem. I don't think Ronald Reagan made this up. I've heard this quoted by D.L. Moody and people like, I don't know who made this up. But this is where, by the way, we're going to come full circle. We started with what? Tychicus finding, look at me, his sweet spot or the zone. Michael Jordan would talk about a zone where everything was just there. What's the guy's name? Learned Helplessness. And he started positive psychology. I can't remember his name. He talks about being in a flow. And I know what that feels like when you're in the spot and it's working. But Ronald Reagan said it this way, and I like Ronald Reagan. God help us to get some more of him. There's no limit to the amount of good you can do. If you don't, I misspelled something. If you don't care, who gets the credit? Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the beautiful quote from Reagan or whoever invented that. Lord, to find our sweet spot is a beautiful thing. Otherwise, we're chasing our tails most of our life, very unhappy with where we are. Seems to me we should be more pleased when people ask us to come up hither than we are always looking to come up hither and be the big man or the big woman or the person that gets noticed. There's a lot of stuff to do. Help us to love you humbly. Help us to follow you obediently. And help us to do so as part of a team, not only here, at home, at work, in a family. Help us to be that person, finding our zone, our sweet spot, the flow. May it be so, in Jesus' name. Amen.